How's it going? I was greeting our guests, and I was waiting on the choir, and they sneaked past me. So, a lot of good things going on this morning all over the buildings, including our blood drive in the parking lot. And if you would like to go try to give, you can have a pass for a few minutes, and as long as you bring a signed note when you come back. But greetings and welcome. I want you to know that Jesus depends on you, the church, to show his light in the world with your people, whoever they are. Expanding our fellowship is at the center of this congregation. And so if you're our guest today, we are happy that you're here. Our circle faces inward also, but it always is designed to turn inside out, so that we can illuminate the world around us. Today we don't have children's place at the altar because we have all children of God welcome at the altar for the sacrament of Holy Communion. When we share that, if you're here today for the first time, you need to know that you are welcome at this table, because it's not ours, it's the table of the Lord, where Christ is the host and each of us is a guest. So about our offering, consistent giving is vital to the life of the church in all of our ministries. Many of you give your gifts online or with some other arrangement you've made with your bank, and that is much appreciated. I don't make it my business to know about all of that, but I have people who do. And so we are dependent upon your giving, and it is sacred money that is used for the ministries and the life of this church and our witness in this community. But we still pass the offering plates in worship, and that's because all of our giving is one of the ways that we worship God. So if you want to put a little slip in the plate that says, "I gave online," you can do that. Don't just pass it by you, but let it be a confident thing that you are giving, and that you are giving to God, and that you are dedicating that to God as an act of your faithfulness and your worship. We also give other ways. We pledge as members to give our prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. So we give our prayers and presents as we give our time and energy. In addition to the offerings that you put in the offering plates, please put a green card if you are our guest. The green cards and yellow cards are in your pews. Green ones are for guests, and yellow ones are for prayer requests. And the ushers will bring me those. And we're not going to make you stand up if you're our guest, but we are going to remember you if you turn in a yellow card in our prayers, in our pastoral prayer time. So please do both of those and put those in the offering plates. And if you're a guest, I'd like to be in touch with you. So give us a way that'd be convenient for you to contact you. One more thing. We are in need of a scout master. After 25 years, Bob Stachowiak is retiring as of this summer from our scout Troop 27. He has served well. It's a stellar career. He has announced his retirement effective July. And if you have an interest in leading in our Scout program, Boy Scouts, please call me. Or if you think you know of somebody who might be, I'd love to hear from you. We're grateful for Bob's influence on a whole generation of Scouts. That's important. Our Connect Grow team meets tomorrow night, and that is one of the teams that welcomes people into the church. That's at 6. We have a full agenda. Come help if you can, whether you're on it or not. You're welcome. Please do read the announcements in your bulletin and take it with you and put things on your calendar. We have a beautiful newsletter this week also. You've probably already seen that. Our communication specialist, Bonnie Smith, does a great job with our words. Don't throw it away or delete it. Pass it on to somebody else. If you get it on paper, please share it. Email it or forward it ahead so that you can share it with others. So we have a blood drive today, and if you have to get up and go and give blood during the service, you get a pass as long as you bring a signed note and come back. Some of you have already given. I see the stickers. You are free to go out there and give blood if you would like to do that. It's a good thing. I've done mine. Now, let us worship God together, and let us be reminded that worship is a verb. It's not something we watch. It is something that we do. And the most important thing that we do, I think, as people of faith, is worship God. Everything else comes into context under that. We praise God, our Maker and Guide, and our Companion. Let our worship begin. Please let us rise and join in our hymn.
And so it is.
Together, let us claim our faith and affirm it with this creed from 1 Timothy. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Jesus Christ, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we now testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, and taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. So, while you're standing, since we don't have children's sermon today, all of us, we have the adult sermon today. It's for all the children of God, all right? It is time for us to pass the peace of Christ and welcome one another. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord. As you take your places, let us begin to make our offerings to God and let the ushers come forward to collect up and present all our gifts. Okay, let us pray. Oh God, as an act of worship and praise, we present these gifts, including our time, our treasures, our gifts, our serving, and our witness of faith. Let everything that we do and offer to you in these moments of worship be a sincere offering of worship and praise. Amen. Thank you.
Now join me in singing our hymn of prayer, number 624, Bread of the World.
Take your seats. Let us prepare to make our prayers to God. And you know, that's something we can all do any time. But there's particular value when we do it together. I have two cards today, and one is a prayer for Bill McCobie, or Mulcahy, I believe that is. And the other is from is for Sue Botkins for health. And those are people that we want to keep in our hearts and in our minds. There are others, plenty of others, that are part of our congregation that we lift in prayers, and you know, no doubt, of special needs. And there are those needs that we are reluctant to speak about that you might want to lift in prayers. I want to share with you that I pray for you, and I believe that other people in the congregation do as well, and I appreciate that we have that agreement. So, as we share our prayers and concerns, let us bow together and begin in silence, and knowing that God hears us, each and every one, let us pray. Oh God, when our hearts beat, we make our prayers to you. When our words are silent, we make our prayers to you. When our voices can't sing anymore, we still make our prayers to you. For we know with confidence and hope, oh God, that you hear our hearts beating, and that our very quietness calls out to you in praise. God, you are all around us, in one another, and within us. We see your evidence in our world, in the beautiful blossoms of spring and the winds that blow, clouds in the skies, the laughter of children. Oh God, when we are together, we see the reflections of your face in one another. And for that we give thanks, because we see your reflections. And we see our dear grandparents or grandchildren. We see evidence of your life and your energy and your hope. Whether it's the bubbly laughter of a child or the emerging and sly smile of an elder. We see evidence of your spirit rising, your spirit emerging, your spirit leaking out from the containers in which you have invested it. God, let us facilitate that, and let us each find ways to leak out that grace and to share it, to bubble it over, so that we find ourselves more joyful for having shared it. And now, oh God, for those whom we have named in prayers, we lift them to you, for Sue and for Bill, for Kay, for those others that we name in these silent moments, those special needs that we have not spoken about, special hopes or dreams or fears. Let them be embraced by your grace in these moments. And in our prayers, our praying, when we can find the words to say, or when we can simply be quiet and listen to your Spirit speak to us, let it be known that all of these things are indeed praying. Open our hearts to you, O God. Open our minds, our spirits, to be invested, to be poured full of your Holy Spirit. That Spirit which seeks to bubble up in us and spill over into our pathways. For we love you, O Holy One. And we lift these moments of praying to you, dedicated to and through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. For we always pray together in his name. We love you and thank you for loving us so dearly. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis 2, 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. You can find it on page 2 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. The Lord God took the human and settled him in the Garden of Eden to farm it and to take care of it. The Lord God commanded the human, "Eat your fill from all the garden's trees, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because on the day you eat from it, you will die." The snake was the most intelligent of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say that you shouldn't eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the snake, "We may eat the fruit of the garden's trees, but not the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. God said, don't eat from it and don't touch it, or you will die." The snake said to the woman, "You won't die. God knows that on the day you eat from it, you will see clearly, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was beautiful with delicious food, and that the tree would provide wisdom. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and also gave some of to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then they both saw clearly and knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made garments for themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came and said to him, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the devil brought him up to the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. And he said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down, for it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot against a stone." Jesus replied, "Again, it is written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said, "I will give you all of these if you will bow down and worship me." Then Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left him, and the angels came and took care of him. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. A great story of Jesus' humanness and his divinity. Humanness because he was not exempt from temptation. And his divinity, the investment of the divine in him, which enabled him to resist and to claim his hope and his triumph over evil. We say Jesus was fully human and fully divine. You and I have both in us as well. Maybe not fully, but we have both elements of divine spirit within us and of human flesh within us. We are created, as Genesis says, from the dust of the earth, from earthly elements, whatever those are, from those elements of the periodic table that make up our physical bodies. But that is not all. We too are indwelled with the breath of God. Everybody breathe in. That is the Spirit of the living God. Jesus had two major metaphors for himself. Think of these. We call them sacraments. Bread, I am the bread of life. Those who take of me will never hunger again. And living water, that water with which you shall never thirst again. For the Christian, the number one soul food is bread and water. And today, when we come to the table to share the sacrament of Holy Communion, watch out. I want to prepare you. We are going to share in a Lenten, humble style of bread and water. Some of you may be surprised by that, that we would use water instead of the usual Welch's grape juice substitute for the wine probably used in Jesus' day, the red wine which represented for them and in fact became for them the blood of Jesus. But Jesus also said, I am the living water. So it's very appropriate for us to use water as a sacrament. Water is a sacrament for us, used in baptism, right? So, don't be surprised, but you can taste the emptiness when we taste the water as you come to the table. I mean, as refreshing as water is, if you're expecting grape juice, it's going to be surprising. I'd like for us to take this as a sign of our Lenten journey, to walk in the life and the light of Jesus, to recognize that He is the living water. And for the Christian, at least for today, the number one soul food is bread and water. There's a kudzu cartoon that shows the preacher reading from the pulpit the Lord's Prayer. And it's a paraphrased version. It goes like this: Give us this day our daily low-fat, cholesterol-lowered, salt-free bread. And the last frame has him shaking his head and saying to himself, I hate these modern translations. But despite modern translations, or water on the communion cups, or despite new fads or exercise machines or doctors' warnings or our own resolve, whatever it is that we are working on in our lives, every year, despite all of that, we Americans are getting heavier. Even more revealing about our culture and lifestyle is the number of children who are overweight or even obese. Doctors and sociologists blame junk food, and that's probably an accurate thing. Our culture and lifestyles, some of our newest sports, like video games. Not much exercise there. Or just watching television or sitting at the computer. Working, we call it, right? There's all kinds of reasons for it, but I'm afraid that it's true that we're getting more chubby. Oh yeah, it's easy to point at somebody else and say that. But we all sometimes seek refuge in food, don't we? And so the fasting season of Lent is a good discipline for us. Doctors and psychologists who study eating disorders, both overeating and undereating, agree that people tend to use food as a way to control things in their lives when there are so many other things that they cannot control. Are you feeling unloved or rejected? You might not be able to have a good relationship, but you can have some more French fries. Sometimes we feel like life is careening out of control around us. We may not stop the world around us, but we can slow down our physical bodies, and we can learn how to feast on spiritual food. Not just pour out our own words in prayer, but to quiet ourselves genuinely and listen for the words of God. We hardly ever wait long enough to hear from that. You may say, well, God doesn't speak to me. And well, I'm not saying God speaks in a voice you can hear with your ears, But I think you'll agree with me that if you are quiet long enough, God may speak to you in your conscience, in your heart, in your soul. That's the way God speaks. Oh, I wouldn't deny that He could speak to us through another person, or even in a voice that's not embodied, something we can't see but could hear. I'm not claiming that God does that, and if God doesn't speak to you, then you're not close enough. I'm saying listen to people around you. Listen. Discerning, of course. Don't just take everybody's word for things, but listen to what people around you say. It may surprise you what nuggets you will discern, and especially if you pray to God to lead you in that discernment and let the Spirit be the filter. That's probably a lot of what Jesus did in those 40 days where He was out in the wilderness. We now call it Lent, and we have just stepped into that. It's a time of listening and of communing with God. Maybe you'll want to stay at the altar a little longer today. Or maybe we'll want to listen even to the silence a little more attentively for the inspiration of God. We are bound by distractions. We celebrate with food. We grieve with food. We watch sports with food. We forget to eat, or we eat to forget. We eat to feel comforted, or to celebrate, or to feel stuffed, or to be sociable, or to be empowered. We may eat too much sometimes, but I'll stop with that, because we need to eat to survive. And it's the same with our souls. Perhaps that's why all the images and metaphors Jesus uses to speak of Himself and His mission and His sacrifice, of all of those metaphors, the two most universally accessible and meaningful still remain bread and water. Today, just as they did 2,000 years ago, Jesus as the bread of life and as the living water suggests to our hungry and thirsty bodies and souls that bread and water that He provides is the basic sustenance that is necessary for life. Bread and water, far from just being prison fare, is the universal soul food of the community of Christ. So when we come to this table today, let us admit that we can live more simply, more in the steps of the Master, who says, I am the living water, and who says, I am the bread of life. But He goes beyond that. He says, whoever comes to Me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. Jesus is the one who multiplies the loaves of bread to feed a crowd of thousands and turns water into wine. I invite you to the table. Bring what you offer here, a confession, a promise, or a new pathway, and let Jesus transform it into something unbelievable. Please join me on page 12 in our hymnals as we begin the service of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of our sin and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin and our need for God's grace before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors and have not heard the cries of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In these moments of praying, we sense good news that Christ died for us while we are yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus the Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, dying, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that Jesus gave himself for us, he took bread. He lifted it in thanksgiving. And then he broke it and shared it with his disciples. And he said to them and to us, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat, and do it always in remembrance of me." And when the supper was done, Jesus took the cup, again giving thanks, and he offered it to his disciples and said to them, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance, O God, of all of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we now offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them to be for us the body and precious living water and blood of Jesus, that we might be for the world his body, the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world in Christ, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. John, the body of Christ, bread of life, given for you. Kathy, the body of Christ, bread for the world, given for you. The life of Christ, the living water, given for you. Alpha Phi, the body of Christ, bread of life. Carol, the body of Christ, bread of life, given for you. The life of Christ poured out for you, the living water.
Amen.
Yes, please. Yes. Amen. Amen. which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your risen Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If today is a day for you to profess a new path in your life, for you to respond to God's leading or God's grace in a new way, I encourage you to take those steps, to step right out. If you are new to this church family, we have a place for you, and we're so glad you're here today. We get to worship together and to share at the table where Christ is the host. If you have other business to do at this altar, or if you'd like to join this congregation of United Methodist people, then you're welcome to come and invite it as we sing the two verses of this hymn. Tyler? As Michael and Britt lead us out into the world in the peace in Christ and following His light, let us all go from this place back to our places, ready to be pushed, ready to be pulled, ready to be carried, and always ready to follow in His steps, the footsteps of Jesus. Amen.